When it comes to picking the perfect college, there's the question of what to look for. Is it programs, campus clubs, the atmosphere, or is it just a raw feeling? As part of the HBCU Profiles series, I'm taking a look at Florida A&M University and how some say it called them home. I'm Lynn Hatter. First, a disclosure. I am a 2007 graduate of Florida A&M. And no, FAMU was not my first choice. In fact, my first choice was Michigan State. Now, why Michigan? I don't really know. But as a kid growing up in Oakland, California, HBCUs, or historically black colleges and universities as they're called, weren't a known commodity to me, not in my family. Then we moved down south, to Georgia. Talk about a culture shock. But when I was in high school, my band director introduced me to this sound. And now for my second disclosure. I'm also a former member of FAMU's Marching 100 band. FAMU gave me academic scholarships, music scholarships, and with a healthy dose of federal financial aid to afford the out-of-state tuition, I turned down 8 other schools to come to FAMU. The band may have attracted me, but it was FAMU's journalism program that sealed the deal. And I'm not the only one. Jessica Ward ended up getting a night tour of FAMU's J School when she and her father got to campus after hours and they found everything closed. But they happened to run into a professor and the school newspaper's editor-in-chief.
The professor, Dr. White, gave the key to the building to the editor-in-chief, and she gave me a tour around J School. So it was just crazy. And it was nighttime when this happened. So I just knew that it was home because I felt like if I would have been on any other campus, that just would not have happened.
Ward is featured in the upcoming PBS documentary on HBCUs called Tell Them We Are Rising. FAMU also drew in Professor Atira Charles, who went from being a student in the late 90s, early 2000s, to a teacher at the university's business school.
I felt like I was home. It was almost like there was a magic fireworks that occurred over the quad. And that was around the time that FAMU was College of the Year in 1997. I'm a child and a product of a different world era.
Parents loved me. Stand behind me, come with me.
So watching HBCU life every Thursday was something I looked forward to. But when I got to FAMU, I knew that that was the vibe and the energy. I saw people who looked like me, who were great, who were excellent, who were diverse.
The A Different World TV show tells the story of a group of students attending an HBCU in the 80s and early 90s. Donna Kay's FAMU experience began in the 1970s. She wanted to go to Florida State University, but found out it no longer had a journalism school. So she came to FAMU and graduated in 1978 with a 4.0 GPA.
FAMU has struggled a lot in many areas over the years, but the journalism school was a real strong part of the university and still is, and I'm happy to have been a part of it.
Kay points out something that's an admitted sore spot to many FAMU alumni, the controversies that have rocked FAMU within the past 10 years.
I feel sorry for my prayer goes out to Robert Champion's mother and the entire FAMU community and everybody that knew him.
I feel good about what I've done at Florida A&M. The university's in a better position than it was when I came.
As a student of Florida A&M University, you don't know how bitter it feels for a student to pass by their library door, turn the corner, and see carved into the marble, College of Law, and know that that building does not exist.
That's Florida Governor Rick Scott, former President Elmira Mangum, and former State Senator Dwight Bullard. In the past 15 years, FAMU has had 5 presidents, including Mangum, who was ousted. It got hit with the hazing death of band drum major Robert Champion, which made national news. And then there was the failed legislative effort to split the FAMU-Florida State College of Engineering. That one reminded many of the decision by the state to take away FAMU's law school and move it over to Florida State. Not to mention periods of probation handed down by the accrediting body, the Southern Association for Colleges and Schools. Activist Bill Lohman says HBCUs like FAMU are at a crossroads.
I think part of the reason that we have this discussion about relevance to HBCUs is because our roots do not go deep enough. And our vision for the future does not go far enough.
Most HBCUs came about after the Civil War, while some predominantly white colleges can trace their histories back to the founding of the country. Today, HBCUs are grappling with how to recruit students and donors, and some like Morris Brown in Atlanta have closed their doors. At the time of their founding, HBCUs were the only schools serving black students, but that's not the case anymore. Times have changed. So has the student body, says FAMU spokeswoman Kanya Stewart.
FAMU and other HBCUs, they're for everyone. There is not a limit. It is not about race. It was created to give an opportunity for African Americans, but we have evolved into a place where it is a haven for higher education, for learning opportunities, to become a better person, and anybody can do that.
Today, some HBCUs, like Bluefield State College, remain HBCUs in name only. Bluefield's student body is majority white. And at other institutions, the trend is turning as well. FAMU's Stewart notes it's not a race, class, or a color thing. It's about finding a place where students can call home. Or, as today's Rattlers say, a place where they become FAMU-ly. For WFSU News, I'm Len Hatter.